have the balls to say things that nobody else has the balls to say.
The Box and the Pow, the 434 podcast.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Hey everybody, welcome to the 434 podcast. It's another episode, episode 6, on the Box, Brenton Cooper, and tonight we have the Pow. Say hi, Pow.
How you doing?
Yeah. Oh, good night to start. We watched Monday Night Raw last night.
Yeah.
It was
great.
It was an interesting show.
I mean, how good was Luke Harper? I mean, what?
He was there in mind and spirit and body.
Well, apparently Eric Rowan is now Luke Harper. That's what I learned.
Tonight we're just going to go off, it's going to be a bit of a quick one tonight. We don't have any special guests tonight. It's just me and the Pow, just talking wrestling.
It's the Pow, it's the Box.
We're just going to chill out, have a good fun. We're going to preview Hell in a Cell tonight. That's coming up this upcoming Monday in Perth, Sunday obviously in the US, and the Tournament of Champions as well, and also discuss Raw. Speaking of Raw, what a start.
Oh my god.
As soon as that glass shattered, man, I got tingles. I was excited.
I was marking out like a little kid again. It was great.
It was really, really good, him coming out and glass shatters.
When that glass breaks.
Oh, it was
there's some beers up in this bitch.
It was electrifying, not the rock, but you get what I mean. It was absolutely awesome. I had high hopes as soon as he walked out.
I wish I saw a stunner.
Oh, I was so pumped. You know,
stunner bitch.
He comes out and he starts talking about his career in Dallas and facing The Rock at WrestleMania, one of them, 18, I think it was.
Number 17, mate.
There you go, 17.
One of my favorite matches, The Rock versus Stone Cold. WrestleMania 17, it was like sold out arena. Rock was the champion.
Mm.
And I believe JR said it right. That son of a bitch sold his soul to the devil.
It was the first time Trips and
Undertaker. That son of a bitch!
The first time Trips and Undertaker faced off.
That
too.
Was an epic battle, and it went in the crowd of the choke slam off the.
Oh, one of the best WrestleManias, yeah. By far.
It's probably my favourite WrestleMania.
He gets a few Hell Yeahs going for WrestleMania 32, plugging the fact that it's there in this Dallas, year, yeah. Which is going to be good in the Texans. And then he plugs obviously the podcast later on. He also manages to get a proper what chant going, because we haven't heard that in a while, which is really, really awesome. But then he's gone, because he just introduces The Undertaker, and you can see him walking off when they pan out to
Personally, I was disappointed. I wanted him to stand in the ring with The Undertaker
and just have
him like have a, just have a stare down as like a mutual respect, and then have... You know, Austin leave the ring. That would have been pretty awesome.
How many times did you win? One? What? Two?
What?
Three?
What?
Four?
What?
Five?
What?
Six?
What?
Seven?
What?
Eight?
What?
I don't even care. You lost one. That would have been freaking hilarious. Yeah. But yeah, Taker comes out and it's just the usual, you know.
Brock Lesnar, you know, you will rest in peace.
The gates of hell will look like the gates of heaven compared to where I'm going to take you, Lesnar. Yeah, it was the normal spiel that he would do.
And then Lesnar teased the whole he's going to come in the ring, but then he doesn't fight for free. He's got to feed the Jews, so you know they left.
The opener had high hopes, and then it fizzled out.
It was still okay.
It was a good one. It was a good one. Instead of hearing a usual 15-minute spiel by Seth Rollins or Triple H. Yeah. So, yeah, first match we came up on to was Cena and the Dudleys against New Day.
Dudleyville came to Texas.
Yes, it was an okay match.
I'm just happy my unicorns came to the ring. I mean, and by unicorns, I mean New Day.
They brought magic to the WWE. New Day rocks, yes.
They've definitely brought some magic. They've
made Raw
a lot more interesting.
They're playing off on the crowd a lot well too. Taking the piss out of Dallas Cowboys, and just you know he brought the trombone that he on SmackDown.
I was disappointed that's broken because I was hoping to hear that. But yeah, I hope he gets a new one.
To be honest, New Day are probably the best thing going right now for WWE.
Top three act right now in WWE.
I
look forward to them every time. They're always entertaining. They deliver. The matches are great. I've been a big fan of Big E since the beginning, so I'm really glad they get to shine now. And well, you can honestly see they're having fun, and when they're having fun,
they're being themselves. Exactly. And you can't get any better than that.
Makes for good TV.
Well, speaking of good TV, you know, Big E, big bloke, he gets up, he loves to dance, so he picks up Cena and he starts dancing with him on his gyrating and shit. That was funny.
That was good.
That was good. It's not really wrestling type, though. It's more entertainment type of things, but still, it was good. Give me more of this.
It's better than half the garbage they give me, so I want more of it.
Ended up finishing off with Devon being distracted because Cena jumped off the top rope and landed on Bubba Ray and I think it was Big E. And Woods rolled him up for the win, so New Day win.
But unfortunately, Cena did a bit of a heel move and he teamed up with the Dudley Boys and they put Xavier through the table. I'm not happy with that. Disappointing.
Big powerbomb.
I'm a John Cena guy, but very heelish. Don't hurt my New Day.
Ash would not be happy with you. hi, Ashley, by the way. You're probably listening. Our big fans.
How you doing? How's the drive?
They announced that Randy Orton got injured in Mexico.
Yeah, that was interesting. He got pulled from the Mexican tour and now he's missing from the pre-show and missing from Raw.
Yeah.
But he's done his shoulder, so we'll see what happens.
Well, Renee Young interviewed her boyfriend, Dean Ambrose.
I thought that was interesting.
And, you know, Ambrose comes out and just basically says, nah, the White family got to Orton. That's pretty clear, you know. He's not waiting for this Sunday. He wants to fight tonight and nothing's going to stand in his way sort of thing. So he was ready to just take them all on, didn't care what happened.
You know, the sad thing is, it looks like Dean Ambrose won't have a match at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
That's kind of disappointing.
I want more Ambrose. Give me more Ambrose.
Yes, exactly. This time last year, he was main eventing the Hell in a Cell against Seth Rollins.
That was a great match.
And that's when this whole Bray Wyatt crap went down.
Yeah.
Guys, we've been watching this feud for a year.
The second match of the night was Sasha Banks and Naomi taking on Alicia Fox and Nikki.
Good change up for them. I'm glad Sasha Banks and Naomi got a match.
I'm enjoying the fact that, like, we need more Sasha as well. These up-and-comers that are coming through now, I mean, they've been wrestling for years and years. She can run circles
around half these women. Exactly. She needs to be showcased.
Exactly. And everyone chants for Sasha, no matter who's wrestling.
Exactly.
So, and you can see she enjoys it. You can see that smirky little smile that she has every time that they start chanting Sasha.
She loves it.
Yeah.
We love it. Nikki, we love Sasha.
Nikki and Alicia won that one, so yeah. I just want Sasha to win one at least. I haven't seen her really win very many in those sort of matches. If she's
losing, at least let her lose in tag match. Don't let her lose one-on-one because that's when it's, yeah.
Yeah, as long as she's not the one to get pinned, then that's fine. Naomi was the one for that one, so that was fine. Kane got suspended for last week with the lumberjack match. Yeah, so this really
surprises me because it was Corporate Kane that got suspended, but we didn't even get to see the Demon Kane on Raw, and that was just weird.
It's the go
considering home. That he is in the main event at Hell in a Cell on the Go Home Raw, he's not there.
What's
up with that?
Hurricane would be very, very upset. I don't get it either. Like how. How Booker, you know, he build up. I don't know how good.
Vince McMahon can write a show or agree to this and let it go to air because it's fucking shit.
I mean, Kane could have made an appearance better than what Ric Flair did, but we'll go to that in a minute.
He could have just come out there and chokeslammed a bitch.
So we see Triple H Shawn Michaels backstage, so you know HBK is coming out. And
the goofy does, HBK is back.
Oh, love HBK. I was very disappointed with the pop that he got. It was
kind of disappointing. It was kind of strange. I don't know if it was the acoustics in the arena or what.
Can you explain that to me? Because I'm still trying to understand with the acoustics.
Okay, so basically Stone Cold's gone on to a record to say the acoustics in different arenas are different. And
meaning the sound,
the
right?
The sound, yeah. So basically when they're in the middle of the ring, the sound that will take a while to go up to the guys in the top and vice versa. So, for instance, they can do a move in the ring and the crowd can respond to it, but it could take a couple of seconds for them to hear it in the ring. So then that's when the delay happens, and depending on the bad miking as well, it could just be bad miking around the arena.
I'm glad they didn't stuff that up for the Izod Center when Ziggler cashed in against Del Rio. Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
that was an insane.
I'm sure we're going to hear about it on other podcasts, and Stone Cold might mention on one of his podcasts because there's definitely one of his pet peeves that some arenas just have bad acoustics. This could have been it. I'm very surprised that HBK didn't get a bigger pop. So I'm just putting it down to bad acoustics. personally, being that he's a, you know, homeboy.
Either way, he does come out. Now, I'm going to read a little bit of this because I really enjoyed this segment. I thought it was probably one of the highlights of the night. So HBK comes in and he talks about being side Hell in a Cell and how he was, you know, the first one in Hell in a Cell. He jokes about being hit in the head a lot and he can't remember who he faced. And obviously the crowd, you know, remind him that
Undertaker.
It's Undertaker. HBK says, 18 years later, Taker stepping in to face Brock Lesnar again in Hell in a Cell. And that's a phenomenal,
phenomenal. It's funny because this, like, 18 years ago was the debut of Kane.
It was.
Indeed. Again, a guy who wasn't there.
Yeah. So, yeah, they go through that. And then our WWE champion, Seth Rollins, comes in and has a go at HBK, you know, saying that he was supposed to come out and introduce him for the start of the second hour of Raw. But it didn't actually happen that way.
What and a he dream should... match that would have been, Seth Rollins versus HBK.
It would have been absolutely fantastic. I'd take my money already. Like, seriously.
Take my money.
I mean, I was hoping for...
One more match.
I was hoping for Daniel Bryan HBK a few years ago.
Yeah,
but
that would have been good.
I'd probably go Seth Rollins more than Daniel Bryan right now.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
We get Rollins saying that, you know, he decided to come out... and say he's doing it wrong. HBK fires back saying, well, you know, he was given instructions for the last 20 years and when he got to the ring, they were gone. So there was nothing to really talk about there. He just basically ruined it for Seth Rollins. He comes back out, Rollins saying that, you know, Taker, Lesnar, why? They're all old news, you know. You should be talking about him. He is the future. He is the man. He is the champ.
He is HBK 2.0.
Yeah, exactly. Supposedly, he's HBK 2.0 version 2. And Rollins says he's a lot better than the original HBK, so HBK should be talking about him. But then HBK, Shawn Michaels, as he does, comes back and said if he had a he'd be a billionaire if he had a nickel for every guy that asked him was supposed to be the next Shawn Michaels.
You know what's funny about that, because the next, you know, he goes on to go, you shouldn't be worried about, he mentioned this for everyone basically. It was like, you shouldn't worry about being the next such and such. You should worry about
second coming of,
you should be worried about your own self basically.
Exactly.
Be the future yourself. Don't be the second coming of anyone.
Exactly. And then he goes and finishes him off by saying, well, you've got
to... Hit my music.
Doesn't play it. Come on, hit my music. Nope. And then he says, listen here, son. This is how it's done. You got a match against Ryback. Hit my music. And then obviously it plays and Seth Rollins has a sad.
Yeah.
So we had Ryback versus Seth Rollins next. And the only good thing I've really got to say about that is our... Ryback, you know, gets ready for the Meat Hook clothesline. Rollins rolls to the apron. He blocks a shot and nails the Pedigree for the win. Bada bing, bada boom. Ryback's the fastball.
It was good to see Rollins get a victory for once.
Yeah, exactly. We don't see that a lot anymore.
We do not. So it was good.
We get the announcement through that Dean Ambrose is facing against Braun Strowman and Luke Harper, yeah. Eric Rowan, in a handicap match tonight. So we get notification of that. Then we got our next match, Dolph Ziggler, Cesaro and Neville taking on Rusev, Barrett and Sheamus.
That's a pretty good match overall. I quite enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to the pre-show match they're now having at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because they had a lot of time on Raw, hopefully they get, you know, some good time on the pre-show. It's going to be a good match.
The Cesaro section was out in force again.
Of course.
Push this man. God damn it, push this man. I'm really enjoying King Barrett and Sheamus as a tag team.
It's good. They're actually getting some victories now.
And Barrett's actually being used properly for a change instead of, you know, winning the King of the Ring and being absolutely useless after that.
I'm a big fan of Ruru, so it's just perfect.
Yeah. In the end, Sheamus Barrett and... King Barrett and Rusev get the win. Then we get Ric Flair coming out. Now, to be honest,
pretty sure he was drunk. He forgot his lines.
I've been a fan of Ric Flair for a very long time. I was emotional when that match between him and HBK where he retired him. But since the Diva Revolution, and you know, he's made numerous appearances, I'm getting really over seeing Ric Flair. I think I've seen him enough.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I've had enough of him.
He's just not, you know, good, man. He's there all the time and. You know, bring another legend out that we haven't seen in a while. Bring back Hulk Hogan.
Oh, God, no.
Bring back Jimmy Snooker or something. That would go down well.
Yeah.
So yeah, he basically talks about and hypes up the crowd again, and then you get Roman Reigns coming out. He introduces him, and then Flair's gone. Then Roman talks about you know, not being afraid of Wyatt, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's fucking...
I'm over it, you know. Get to the match.
I'm bored of Roman.
It's going to be a good match. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sick of all the dialogue in between.
This whole segment was crap. Like, Eric Rowan just shows up and...
out of nowhere.
The commentators don't even play to it. Roman no-sells it, doesn't even talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been, like, a big deal.
And it wasn't. It was poorly booked.
It was just like, Luke Harper's not there. Let's bring Eric Rowan back, who we haven't seen in months.
No build-up.
Let's just put him back in the Wyatt family.
And just go with it.
And just pretend he's been there the whole time.
Oh, the audience won't know the difference.
Yeah.
My God damn it, I'm Vince McKennedy McMahon, and I get to say what I want to say. yeah, poorly booked. Poorly booked.
Congratulations, you have a new Tinder match. Ooh. Thank you, Tinder.
For those that don't know, we're actually recording this off an iPhone, so... the power has got some matches.
Oh, yeah.
Dig it. So we've got the next match, Charlotte versus Brie Bella.
I'll be honest, I fast forward this.
Yeah, I didn't want to see. Basically, just put a big boring stamp over it. No one, I don't really care for the division.
Charlotte's now. Cool, but Brie's shit. And yeah. I know, you know, you can't fucking polish a turd.
you cannot polish a turd. Oh, that's
it's as simple as that. Next match, goddammit.
Next match. We'll skip over the Paige segment because that wasn't really that entertaining.
No, that was just more gibberish,
exactly. The Divas division is just getting poorly booked. It's all over the place at the moment. Yeah. And they wonder why the ratings are getting so low. It's because everything's just getting too confusing.
That's it.
It's just so hard to follow. The next match, Mark Henry versus Kevin Owens, Intercontinental Champion.
Do you know, this match was actually pretty good.
I was enjoying it. I really enjoyed it.
And I've heard a lot of people saying they did as well, that everyone was pleasantly surprised.
I love the finish.
That's because Owens is great.
Yeah. Owens is great.
This made me think that Owens could put on a good match with the Big Show, with Kane, because everyone knows that...
The great Carly.
Because everyone knows that it's hard to put on a good match against Henry, Big Show, Kane.
Well, just look at the matches he had with Cena.
That was there. They were pretty good as well.
They were absolutely great. And, I mean, credit where credit's due. Exactly. Cena.
It's both of them, yeah. And really we all know good. That Mark Henry's on his way out. Like, he's openly said he wants to retire.
He got up, though, and he got that pop-up powerbomb.
Yeah, that was impressive. A good clean win for
Owens.
It was a good match.
It was good. I think he's the only Intercontinental Champion I've seen in recent history that's actually had proper wins.
It's very regular. Different. Normally, the IC champ loses, so it's good to see Owens... on a positive note.
But then, you know, Owen starts trash-talking him and Ryback comes out.
Oh, God.
Nails a powerbomb on him and then the Phoebe Moore chants start going. So it was a devastating powerbomb. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this match can be over as quicker as I can, please, for Hell in a Cell.
That's it.
HBK, again, out the back, winding up, talking with Trips and Steph.
Yeah, this is... him just like playing against Rollins, and obviously the segment basically made Rollins look like a bitch and made him agree to help team up with his former Shield members.
Former brethren, the Shield, and that's when I got excited. That's when I thought, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, like we wanted the Shield to get back together at least one night.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't digging it.
But yeah, I might have
been the only one, but I just knew it was going to be something fishy.
I was with you there because I knew that there was something. There was always a catch.
Because yeah, I think when you want to do it, it has to be legit.
Yeah.
And I knew tonight isn't going to be it.
No. So, yep, we go to that match. Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Dean Ambrose taking on Bray Wyatt, Eric Rowan, and Braun Strowman. Now, the build-up, the start to this match, you know, the face-off, and you see Rollins hanging back for a bit.
Yeah.
Crowd egg him on, and then bang, he walks up. Chills.
That was good. It was like, wow.
That was really good, but then, you know,
You know what would have made it completely better?
Yeah.
Piss Braun Strowman off and have Luke Harper in there. If it was like the original Wyatt family with... the Shield, that's perfect. That's money.
Mm.
Next time they do it, I hope it's legit. Get Braun Strowman, like, make the Shield take him out or something, or have him on the outside.
I would book it differently, though. Like, I would make it as though Rollins would turn face.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's how the Shield reunion should happen.
It'd be perfect, but how good would it be if the Shield teamed up one night and they systematically took out Braun Strowman?
That would be good.
And everyone's like, oh my God, that'd be great.
It would be amazing. Well, it wouldn't be amazing. It'd be a nice big step. It's something we haven't seen because he is such
build
a big
build up for
dude.
A pay per view. Like the pay per view starts and. You know, somehow Braun Strowman goes missing. And
I'm interested to see what happens for the next pay-per-view because it is Survivor Series. And we've got a few photos out there with our own teams that we're thinking could happen. Trade Secrets, it's really good. Mm-hmm. The match ends in a disqualification because Rollins ends up leaving halfway through.
He hurt his leg, man.
Hurt his leg.
Can't, the champ already wrestled a match.
Exactly. You know, like he can't be expected to wrestle twice in one night. That's a conspiracy.
He's a fighting champion.
Yeah. He leaves, and you've got Dean Ambrose just had enough. Grab the kendo stick and whack away he goes. Disqualification, and somehow you'd think that the Wyatt family would end up. Finishing on top, you know, 3-on-2, but no. Bring in a steel chair, bring in a kendo stick, and away you go. They finish on top, finally, for a change.
Yeah, it was good.
The heels move back, and Raw goes off the air with that final segment. So, overall...
It was pretty rough.
I'm going to give it a 3.
Out of 5.
I'm going to give it a
3. Yeah, I'll give it about 3, only because, like,
the top stars
are
good.
A couple of good matches. Obviously, the wrestling's always good 9 out of 10 times, but... You know, there's character development, the storylines need to be good too, so...
Yeah.
But overall, I thought it was alright.
I just really...
Was it a good go-home episode for a pay-per-view?
No.
It was a cool role, it was alright.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what happens
next week. The podcast, that was pretty good.
Mm. The Stone Cold podcast.
The business a bit, but it was pretty good.
Well, I mean, for the first half of the Stone Cold podcast with Brock Lesnar, it was all about hunting and cars and stuff like that. I'm like, when are they going to start talking about his career? that's what I was interested in.
But
it was cool to see that sort of side of him.
Yeah, me personally, I just enjoyed
that's
all
the
that.
Most he's talked, like, ever. I couldn't get him to shut up.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this guy can really talk. Why does he need Paul Heyman? Because he sounds like a high-pitched...
Yeah.
Not...
No, he's got to feed the Jew.
Exactly. Feed the Jew, but... Heyman, he doesn't need to talk, as he said in the podcast. He doesn't need to talk. Heyman doesn't talk. Brock
just goes there, clocks on, does his thing, goes home. He doesn't need to talk. He's there just to kick ass.
And that's why we love him.
That's it.
It's good. All right, so that was the Raw recap. Now we've got some tweets and chat. So, Power.
Let's look at the questions, guys.
Hit us up and let's see if we can get your questions on the podcast.
Okay, so we'll go to the question time that we first put out.
Yep.
Okay.
Finding.
I've got one from Rajiv Singh.
Rajiv?
He wants to know who's
Rajiv.
Rajiv. Mr. Singh wants to know who's the Jobber of the Year in 2015.
Jobber of the Year 2015.
I ask you, Box, who is the Jobber?
Slater, for one.
Jobber the Raw.
Slater definitely would be one. You know, I think the last time I saw him win a match... Heath Slater.
Who?
He's the one-man band.
Oh, the one-man band.
He,
One man band, baby!
He, I think the only match I've seen him win was actually against Seth Rollins when he was,
That was pretty cool when he won.
Yeah, it was a mark-out moment, that's for sure. But yeah, Slater, Ryder,
Well, okay, Ryder's getting some TV time on NXT, and I'm pretty happy that he's been moved to NXT.
He's teaming up
the Hype Bros, they're doing their thing, they're winning, they're losing, but he's on TV, he's getting some TV time, NXT's the place to be, I'm happy for that. My opinion, I think you're right. Heath Slater definitely, but also what about Curtis Axel and Damien Sandow?
Damien Sandow. Well,
Damien Sandow is the biggest fall from grace.
He's. I don't know where he's gone.
I think you might want to put him as the top jobber because he went from something to nothing, whereas the other guys, this year they're already nothing anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah, no. I agree with that. Yeah, Sandow probably would be, or Ms. Dow, or
whatever gimmick
he was doing on the night sort of thing. I was a bit disappointed with that whole Hulk Hogan thing come out, and I know Axel Mania had to die. Mm. That was quite sad. But he's still never been eliminated. So
He's often imitated, but never eliminated.
Hopefully he'll make a return back at the Rumble, get eliminated after about 5 seconds.
Oh God.
That is probably what's going to happen.
He's going to come to the ring talking about he's never been eliminated, hops in the ring, next thing eliminated.
Yep, calling it now, that's what's going to happen. Next question. Thanks, Rajiv.
Okay, this one's come from Christopher Lopez.
Ooh, I've heard that name before.
He's always commenting. We're
good stuff.
Definitely pay attention to him.
Good stuff.
He wants to know, How would you book John Cena's final year in the WWE? His final rivalry and final match.
Ooh. I think he's only got about 2 or 3 years left.
I say he's got about six.
You reckon six, maybe 4 years?
Dude's only 38.
That's true.
He's got guys wrestling over 45.
Yeah, 56. But I don't want to see Cena have another 15 title reigns.
That
could happen.
Man, he could even have another 10 years, honestly.
All right, if it's his very, very last year...
Let's just say for whatever reason, this is his final year. WrestleMania 32 is going to be his last run. That's it.
Okay, if it's his very last run, I'd have him facing one of two guys. I'd either have him face him Triple H, authority figure, all that sort of stuff, or a match we haven't seen and then we want to see, Taker. I'd have him finish off that. It wouldn't be for any titles. It wouldn't be for... it'd just be for... Just
legacy.
Legacy, basically. And if he had to retire and finish... And if he was going to retire and finish up, that's probably where I would make that move. Cena versus Taker
or Trips. Yeah, I'd pick the exact same thing.
Mm. Good question, Chris. Thank you.
That is a very good question. Bradley Martin wants to know, what are my thoughts of Lucha Underground? Well, I'll probably add to this because I've watched a fair bit of it. I love Lucha Underground. I think it's great. Can't wait for season 2 to start. And if anyone isn't watching it, I recommend they do. Including you, Box. It's a great show.
Oh, no. I've seen bits and pieces. I mean, I'm a bit limited.
If you watch it from episode to episode, it's just the coolest thing to follow.
It's all my cables fodder, right? They don't bring it on my television. It's all their fault. No, I will say, you know, I'm a big fan of Johnny Mundo, and I like Alberto El Patron.
That's it.
You know, so I'm looking forward to seeing some of that stuff in there and see what happens from there.
I got another question from Jason McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know.
G'day, Jace.
Where the fuck was Luke Harper?
He was under Eric Rowan's mask. That's where he was. He was hidden.
Yep.
No, story coming out is that either two things. One, he had personal reasons.
I don't believe any of the stories. Meltzer put them both out, so I think they're both full of shit. Because he can't confirm them.
Supposedly, he had personal reasons why he couldn't be there. Or the other reason was the leaked Twitter picture by Chris Jericho. Breaking kayfabe and posing with
each other.
Luke Harper's
T-shirt
that's been fan made. So we think that that's a possibility. That's the reason why he's in a bit of trouble. He got pulled off. I heard you say the other day when we were watching Raw that he wasn't there because he got too pissed with Jericho and he couldn't make the flight back.
That's a pretty good story.
Yeah. So where was Luke Harper? Don't know. Hopefully see him next week and we find out. Or maybe even at Hell in a Cell. We'll find out.
I reckon the next few questions will just spitfire some answers back.
Yep, what do you reckon? Yeah, let's get through it.
We've got quite a few questions here.
I like it.
Okay. So Matt Wokoskniski...
I hope you said that right.
I hope so. It's a very different name, but...
Sorry, Matt, if we said that wrong, or he did.
Do you reckon the NXT needs a mid-card title?
No.
Keep it as it is?
Keep it as it is.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Exactly.
I agree. I definitely agree.
Give it a kiss.
There's a guy's name who's in complete Arabic, so I can't even read it.
Sorry, your name?
He's got a picture of Stone Cold.
Okay.
He wants to know, who will face Cena in Hell in a Cell? Finn Balor, Tyler Breeze, or Dolph? What are your thoughts on this?
Neither.
Ooh.
Neither. I think because...
Do you want to give everyone a spoiler?
Well, I think the spoiler's already out there. It's already been pasted everywhere.
Everywhere.
Tyler Breeze made his debut on SmackDown, and you can watch that only on the WWE Network in about a month and a half later. No, watch it on your local cable guides and stuff like that, and Foxtel and Fox 8 here in Australia. Yeah, you'll see Tyler Breeze make his debut and side with Summer Rae, so it's a bit of a Summer Breeze.
Summer Breeze, I kind of like that.
Yeah, so I don't think he's going to be there. He'll start a feud with Ziggler. Finn Balor, NXT champion, I don't think so. I think he's still going to stay down there for a while. I don't think it's too early to bring him up.
Yeah.
If anyone, Daniel Bryan.
Ooh.
I reckon it'll be Daniel Bryan only.
That would be pretty awesome.
Only because no one really expects it. We've all heard the stories about how the WWE are holding him back because of he's been medically cleared. Same story as Christian, but they don't want to use him and risk him because, you know, he could be screwed for the rest of his life and they'd have to pay him out for God knows how much.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they're trying to cover their ass. Hopefully, I reckon Daniel Bryan would come in and that would just, that would make the night, that would be match of the night by far. It'd beat Taker and Lesnar in the cell. I reckon that would be the match.
But do you know who I want to debut?
Don't say Baron Corbin.
No. Because we all know John Cena's having some time off.
Yep.
Bring in, get ready.
Ooh, I'm kidding, go.
Samoa Joe. The only guy who's got history with Cena. Mm. They both started the same camp.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And Samoa Joe looks like he'd actually kick the crap out of Cena.
Yes.
And he could ride him off TV and have like a dominant entrant into the main roster.
Yes.
And he can both work Raw and NXT for a while.
Sounds good.
I think that'd make good TV.
I could dig that. That would be pretty good. And he can take the US title and hold it for a bit and fight on all comers.
We've also got another question. This guy, I believe his name is Monty Conango.
Monty, I think we met a guy last week.
Yeah, I think so. He wants to know, is that Chiquito guy single? He's cute as fuck. Well, I guess his Monty character might be a bit of a...
Well, he's a Chiquito guy, so he's a lolly, but he likes to be sucked.
Does that mean he likes himself? Yeah.
I don't know.
Is he not himself? That's what we've established.
Well, judging by his Facebook picture, yeah, I can tell he digs himself way too much.
But no, he's in a relationship.
Hi, Casey.
How you doing?
Yeah, we'll have you back on another episode, Monty. It was really good last week, so thanks for that.
We'll go two more questions.
Two more. Yep.
There's so many to choose from. I wish we could answer them all, but unfortunately we can't. But we'll go with this one. For Christian Caballero, he wants to know thoughts on WWE's refusal to push new top baby faces that are over, but aren't in WWE's plan.
Why don't you answer that one first, and I'll see what I think after that. I've got some time to think about this one.
What are my thoughts? I think Vince and creative is stupid, plain and simple.
That's
just the brunt of it. Like, I could sit here and bitch for a friggin' hour, but you don't want to listen to that.
See, I can agree with that. I think that the way they're booking it...
They need to change the way they think. That's as simple as
it's
that.
It's not a soap opera. We don't want... You know, most of the majority of the fans that aren't kids or 14 years old or whatever, we want it like the Attitude Era, not the Attitude Era. Let me get that straight. It's not ever going to be the Attitude Era again. But having the same sort of formula, not, you know, still being PG, bringing that sort of stuff in, I reckon the storytelling is going to be so good. It was, you know, do something like that and see where that goes. You know, what's there to lose?
Yeah.
You're the biggest company in wrestling in the whole bloody country, in the world. You've got nothing to lose. Your ratings are shit at the moment. Why not?
Take a chance.
Exactly. Give it a go.
And we'll go with the last question from Gajot Hothi. He wants to know who will defeat Seth Rollins.
Kane. nice. Premature.
Honestly, I don't know at this stage. So I can't really. I can predict stuff. I just can't predict this.
I think
Roman Reigns. Sadly, yeah. I don't want that to happen.
We had this discussion before. Yeah. Roman Reigns.
It seems like it's heading in that direction. If it is, that's a very sad day for wrestling fans.
We've mentioned that on the podcast a few times. That's the questions, guys. Thank you very much for sending that in. We appreciate all your feedback, all your questions.
Yeah.
We hope you guys love listening to the podcast and keep listening. Hopefully one day if you ask us a question, we'll answer it. And everyone can hear your question out there. It's good. All right. We've got the Hell in a Cell preview. Seeing that it is on Sunday in the US, let's start with the kickoff. Pre-show match. Neville, Cesaro and Ziggler taking on Rusev, Sheamus and Barrett.
It's going to be a hell of a match.
It's going to
be... Can't wait for it.
A few spots.
It's going to be good.
It's a bit disappointing us on the pre-show.
I wish it was on the main show.
But
it's going to make me tune into the pre-show just so I can watch this. So
yeah, I reckon it's going to be...
I guess it's kind of working.
Mm.
Otherwise, I wouldn't watch the pre-show.
There'll be a few spots here and there. It'll be a good match. It'll be a good way to hype up the crowd and get it all ready. So.
Exactly.
I liked it. Hopefully, it'll be good. The next match coming up would be the Intercontinental title match, Ryback versus Kevin Owens.
Should be an okay match.
The build-up's been alright, they've been at each other's throats.
I'm just not a fan of Ryback, so I'm hoping He just kicks. He gets his ass kicked.
Owens needs to win, and then Ryback needs to fall back into the mid card. You know, go back to NXT or whatever. You know, like, he's never going to go back, but he'd be probably someone that would be in a spot.
Just get him away from Owens. That's just the way I see it.
He'd be someone in the team for Survivor Series if they do a few teams or whatnot. So they'll still use him. The next match was the tag team title match. The New Day taking on the Dudley Boys, and I'm pretty sure I have a good feeling that Dudley Boys are going to win.
There's a feeling.
The Dudley Boys need a win. The 10-time tag team chance, it'll be good. It's going to be a well laid out plan because they've lost the last couple of pay-per-views. It's about time.
The way I'd book it, I'd still have Dudley's lose this one.
Really?
The New Day go over. Yeah, I don't think the build-up's been quite good the last couple of weeks.
Well, but
so I think, just get the Dudleys pissed off now.
Yeah, but...
because the TLC is coming up.
Yeah, but...
I just want them to win a TLC. I want them to win in a tables match. That's just the way I see it.
Okay, I reckon winning a TLC match, I reckon the TLC pay-per-view would be the final part of their rivalry. I reckon Dudleys will win. They'll take the titles. Survivor Series comes around, they'll be facing off Team New Day versus Team Dudley Boys or whatever.
Table elimination.
Yeah, or something like that. And then they'll have their grand final match.
TLC.
And who knows, we might even get Spike Dudley back in there and make it 3-on-3.
Who knows?
You never know.
You never know.
Sometimes
we know.
Sometimes we know, but you never do know. We got the John Cena Open Challenge for the US title.
Bring on Samoa Joe. We already kind of discussed this.
Daniel Bryan.
Want Daniel Bryan, I want Samoa Joe. Could be Tyler Breeze, could be Dolph Ziggler, could be anybody.
Divas title match.
Ooh. Who's fighting?
Oh, sorry, we were talking about Divas match. Nikki Bella versus Charlotte.
If this was like
Bailey versus Sasha.
I can't believe I said Nikki. I feel dirty. If it was Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch, that'd be friggin' awesome. Just like number one contenders match. I don't care. That would be great.
Mm.
I know it'd be an awesome 15, maybe 20 minutes
match. I would like to see Charlotte, the four horsewomen, right? Paige and Natalya in a match.
In a story. I want to see them in the story.
Yeah. I reckon, but
have
like,
them all feuding together. Stop being friends.
Yeah, no, we need a strong Divas.
Do you want to be the champion? You need to go through each other. Simple. Make it just. You want to be the best.
So
to be the best,
Charlotte retains. So
woo, gotta be the champ.
Charlotte retains. WWE World Heavyweight Title match: Demon Kane taking on Seth Rollins. The condition is, if Demon Kane loses, Corporate Kane is relieved of his duties as Director of Operations.
But he already got suspended, so this is kind of weird now.
Mm. Doesn't make sense.
No.
Kane wins, though, in my book.
Nah.
Final run. It's his final run. I mean, they
I
gave
want him
him
to win, but...
They gave him the ECW title, and that was... Then they gave him the World Heavyweight title, and that was... Give him the WWE title. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Give him one more last run. Then that means, you know, Rollins can come back and be a two-time champion. He's been champion since WrestleMania.
Two-time?
You know, and then that still gives enough time to Roman to get over out of this feud
with
Bray Wyatt. Survivor Series comes up. I don't see the WWE title being... You know, defended there, and then, you know, come, so Kane has it for like a month or two, and then come TLC.
See what happens.
Hopefully, it goes the way I want it, but it never really does. Our first Hell in a Cell match is Reigns versus Wyatt.
This could actually be the opener.
I think it might be. I'm hoping that it will be, it would be a good match. It'd be brutal.
Should be good. We'll see what happens. Hopefully it's the end of the rivalry, but it probably won't be because of Survivor Series and the Wyatt family just got bigger. So
yeah,
we'll see how this all shakes out.
Our last match is Hell in a Cell: Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker.
Rest
the rubber match
in peace. Hopefully this feud rests in peace because I'm fucking over it.
Go to Hell tour is finishing.
It's coming to a wind.
Coming to an end, and I think...
So we're not going
to
see Brock Lesnar for a little while.
I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty much predicting that Lesnar...
I know for a fact.
Lesnar is going to low blow Taker.
He's going to kick him in the dick.
Undertaker's going to find a way to win, though. I reckon that's what's going to happen. He's going to find a way to win. Chris is getting hot in here.
It's getting hot
in
here.
It's a bit warm in my house at the moment, so in my living room.
Sweating cobs.
So, yeah, there you have it. We have the Hell in a Cell card.
It's going to be a good pay-per-view. I'm pretty excited for most of the matches. I'm hopefully out of 5, but hopefully it'll be a 4. 4.5.
Hey, and if you guys even want to just send us what you think. You know, let's get involved. You know, we want to see what you guys think about it. You don't want to just hear us talking all the time, stuff like that. We want to see what you think. So send them through. Lastly, but not least,
we're like one of the only pages that answers everyone.
Yeah, pretty much. We've got
admins everywhere. We're covering posts. We're covering messages.
We care. We share because we care.
We share because we care. The 4-3-4.
Lastly, we're doing the Tournament of Champions, the original Tournament of Champions, considering that
you've seen so many pages copy this fucking...
Yeah. I am quite happy with how things are going. What we had was Dean Ambrose and Mick Foley. Mick Foley! Taking on
Kurt Angle and Shelton Benjamin,
and I was quite surprised with that. I thought it'd be a lot closer than what it was.
No, I can't believe Dean Ambrose and Mick Foley got 152 votes, with only Kurt Angle and Shelton Benjamin getting 94.
So they move on to the next round, the semi-finals.
God, what a team that would have been, Dean Ambrose and Mick Foley.
Oh, it just the carnage, the brutality. I can't believe
that feud almost happened.
It was I remember that. Yeah, that was really good. So yeah, they move on. The other match that we had was Kane and Abyss taking on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and in a resounding result,
my boys, my team,
the Powers team, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn absolutely chopped. What was the score, Power? Have you got that there?
Don't have the score, but it was like a couple hundred to. It was a couple hundred.
I think it was about at least 100 odd. At least 100 odd points.
It was crazy. It was. Here we go. I've got it. Oh, wow. 217 versus
39. Wow, nearly 200. God damn. Likes. I think. See, the problem.
We definitely have to get some beers up in this bitch over that one.
I made this tournament because I wanted to get people involved, and they selected their teams and stuff. So I wanted that sort of
simple concept, something quite amazing.
Well, it is, but it's also a little bit sad from my point of view because of the fact that people are voting just based on who they like, not based on. And I mean, it's always going to be like that. It's going to be fan populated, but get a bit creative, guys. Think about what could possibly happen. You know, it's not always just going to be the fan favorites that win. So. We've got another two matches coming up that will advance to the semi-finals. And then after the semi-finals, it's the grand finale that we will have. After season one is finished, we've got a massive, massive tournament. It's series two of Tournament of Champions. We have a total of 24 teams.
God damn, that's a lot of teams.
Three brackets.
What?
Yep, three brackets. The final match will be a 3-on-3-on-3 match.
Oh my god.
And it's going to be a lot harder to choose. We've got teams because we've already pre-selected teams. So we've got teams that you'd already know. And it's going to be really, really epic. It's probably going to go on for a while. It's going to tear a few people on who they want to win.
We're going to see some classic rivalries. It's just going to be friggin' insane.
You're going to get teams that you never thought would actually work together or could even wrestle together, sort of thing. So
kind of blast from the past.
Exactly.
And cross promotion of companies. And
it's going to be epic.
It's going to be some good stuff.
So, yeah, we want you guys to fuel the power. And basically that...
Get involved and have fun.
That really much wraps up the podcast for tonight, guys.
It's been a great podcast. It's the two of us.
It's been quite quick. It's been good. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're the 4-3-4 podcast. I'm the Box. He's the Power.
Yeah.
Take it easy, guys.